So today's readings offer us a view into the redemptive power of Jesus Christ through his servant leadership. In Isaiah, we hear, through his suffering, my servant shall justify many, and their guilt he shall bear. And in the gospel, we are reminded through the gift of his life, he saved many. But let's take a look first at the second reading from Hebrews. In it, the author says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has similarly been tested in every way, yet without sin. So let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. So, when you think Jesus would not understand your sin or know what you're going through, remember this reading from Hebrews and other places in the Bible that we are reminded that Jesus was a real man who walked the face of this earth and not some spiritual construct or model of living. He is a being that was incarnated and died to show us the love and saving power of God. However, if you're like me and forget this from time to time, take comfort from today's gospel. For even James and John didn't get who Jesus was. And they were eyewitnesses to the miracles, the love, and the presence of God in their lives through the person of Jesus Christ. But they still didn't get it. For in the gospel, Jesus once again predicts his own death. But in spite of these previous predictions, James and John still think of him as a revolutionary freedom fighter. And they shared the Jewish belief that the Messiah would be a political king, sitting on David's throne, ruling over a reunited Israel. They were sure, that the purposes of Jesus' final trip to Jerusalem was to overthrow the Roman rulers. Hence, they wanted assurance from Jesus that he would make them his first and second in command in his messianic kingdom. They looked at following Jesus as a way to improve their standing in the community. This gospel indicates that they were very capable of selfish and self-centered behavior, of ego-driven desires. They were not yet aware that the path they were going down would lead them to suffering. They did not understand what it would mean to drink the cup that he drank or be baptized with the baptism with which he is baptized. At that moment, they were interested in the here and now. What was in it for them? What was their fair share? This reminds me of a story that many of us have heard around Christmas, and yeah, it's not too early here, Christmas stories. If you look in the back of the stores, they already have the decorations lined up, and we're already seeing fourth quarter product announcements to get us ready for Christmas, so we're on our way. We used to watch this show every year on TV. I'm not sure they show it anymore. I think my wife told me that they do. Anyways, the story is written by the late Charles Schulz, and it's called Charlie Brown Christmas. In one of the scenes in Charlie Brown Christmas is Charlie's little sister, Sally. And she wants him to help her write a letter to Santa Claus. Here's the dialogue. Sally says, I've been looking for you, big brother. Will you please help me write a letter to Santa Claus? And Charlie responds, well, I don't know. I don't have much time. I'm supposed to get down to the school auditorium to direct a Christmas play. Sally hands him a clipboard and a pen anyways and says, you write it, and I'll tell you what to say. She starts, dear Santa Claus, how are you? Did you have a nice summer? How is your wife? I've been extra good this year, so I have a long list of presents that I want. At this point, Charlie Brown just sighs and goes, oh, brother, in his traditional way. Sally continues, please note the size and color of each item and send as many as possible. However, if it seems too complicated, Santa, make it easy on yourself. Just send money. How about tens and twenties? Charlie Brown, tens and twenties? Oh, even my baby sister is exasperated. Sally responds, all I want is what's coming to me. All I want
is my fair share.
Doesn't this sound uncomfortably familiar? All I want is my fair share, what's coming to me. Many of us might not say it this bluntly, but I wonder if we don't feel that way with some regularity. My fair share. What is my fair share of glory and honor? Sometimes I wonder, who am I to judge what my fair share is? It's just my self-determined idea of what justice is. I don't know about you, but I'd be much better approaching the throne of grace looking for mercy than for justice. For isn't it true, in our attempt to get our fair share, to seek justice for ourselves, we often leads to suffering, a drama created by our egos, our desire to be right and defend our positions and get our own way. But Jesus offers us a model of freedom from this kind of thinking with his model of complete obedience to God. While we seek honor and glory, he seeks God's will. And notice what happens when we seek, like the apostles, the glory and honor. The rest of the apostles, thinking that honor and glory was their fair share, became indignant. I wonder if that is an understatement. For isn't it true that in our world today, that if we seek glory and honor just to satisfy our ego, that others see as glory and honor just as rightly belonging to them, don't they react a little more than indignantly? Oh, the backbiting, the gossip, the hurt feelings, and the bad relationships that come from this sort of ego-driven behavior. Then Jesus sets them and us straight in the end. Our journey is not one bound for power and glory, but for humble service. Service to God and our fellow man. This is not the message of our society, which stresses the pursuit of happiness through the accumulation of material things and the satisfaction of our ego. This gospel is a valuable reminder to those of us in a position of power, whether in our careers, homes, or other areas of our life, we are to be servant leaders, not lords of all. And this is possibly, obviously, not a bad thing. For there is something extremely comfortable and comforting when sensing that you're doing God's will, being obedient to his call for you, being one among many, a friend among friends, a worker among workers, a true partner in life with your spouse. For it is in those relationships, live with those attitudes, that we show the love of Christ and exercise true leadership. Our lives given in ransom for others. Greatness in Jesus' community is greatness of service. Amen.